Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Free agency is a little less than an hour away from opening in the National Hockey League. All eyes will be on what the Predators plan to do. I don't see it being as active as it was last year because, well, one, the crop is not as good as it was last year, and two, they need to be a little more patient, I guess, is the best way to put it. But there are a couple of names that I could see being fits here. If Barry Trotz and the Predators wanted to do that, they obviously need some help up the middle. Could that be a reuniting with Mikael Granlund potentially? He can play both wing and center. Nick Ehlers is out there that could be interesting as well. Brock Besser. So we will see.
Why did Dallas let Granlund go? I'm always curious about why teams let somebody go.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's because they just don't have the room. They don't have the cap space. And okay. I think that's pretty much kind of the thing with them. Hang on.
So bring him home.
I am learning. Dallas has $980,000 in cap space right now.
Okay.
So that would be the big reason.
Well, that's probably – okay. There you go. Bring him home. Bring Granlund home. Where's Rocco –
Grimaldi. He's either done or maybe still playing in the AHL.
Grimaldi. I liked him.
Rocco was cool. Good guy. Always named his sticks.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Like Tommy Shaw, Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah.
You had Sticks guitar player on 2 years ago.
Yeah.
James.
James.
Arnott. James.
Jason Arnott. What?
It's for the Cleveland Monsters in the AHL.
Okay. Thank you.
What's their name?
The Cleveland Monsters.
I like that. All right. That's a different
James
name.
James Young.
James Young.
Yep.
Yeah. I listened to every second of the interview 2 years ago.
I know. You liked that.
I did like the interview. I was stuck at a corporate job with a fake screen up on my triple screens at work and listened to your interview with James Young.
It was funny. You told me there's a Jimmy Buffett song that he released in like 2020 called Down at the La-Di-Da.
Yeah.
And there's a line in there that you told me about that I can't, like, every time I hear that song, I just think of you now. It's pouring rain at your corporate job.
Yeah, when you're back at work at your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And it's pouring rain on your morning drive, you remember the last time you were alive.
Down at the La-Di-Da.
So I'd go to work, I'd listen to Robbie and Rex, it'd be pouring rain. I'm like, what am I doing? I mean, the fact that I did not drive my car off a bridge, and I'm not kidding you with this, is amazing. That's why I'm on this kick of mental health and taking care of things, and you played a large part in saving my life, so thank you.
Happy to help, my friend.
There we go with all that.
Happy to help. I'm glad you're here.
Right.
Look, this is
– It was something.
It was funny. I mean, this was kind of a destiny that we would – our paths would come back together. I mean, we've always maintained a relationship even after you left before, but
– Yeah. And then who put you on TV the first time?
I would be you.
Thank you so much. You and Barton Simmons.
You put me on TV and then got asked why you weren't putting somebody else on TV.
Right. I was like, I'm putting Chase on. That's it. Why don't you? No, I'm putting Chase on. That's it.
Yep.
Even people within my TV station are like, what's going on? I'm putting these guys on. And that's how it happened. Too bad.
Mm. Yep. Explain it again with those nuggies.
At the end of the day, bring Granlund back home. There we go. Get back to that. Bring him home.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Preds fans, is there someone you want Barry Trotz to sign today? Or are you kind of like, let's just go with what we got and see what happens?
Or do you want Barry to put the phone down and not do anything?
Yeah, or there's that.
I'm kind of in that part of it, I think. But again, at 11 o'clock, something big's going to happen like it always does.
The Predators have traded...
The entire team.
For Connor McDavid.
So, I mean, you talk about – what's the big one? Was it the – where were you when the Shea Weber and
– I was sitting right where Dr. Crane is.
P.K. Subban trade came down.
I was sitting right where Dr. Crane is. I was producing Darren and Derek and our old
2016.
PD, yep. Our old PD at the time, Jeremy Benefield and Ryan Porth come running in, and we're literally at the end of the show. And he goes, the Predators have traded Shea Weber for P.K. Subban. And I just, like, it was one of those, I just kind of stared at him for a second. And, like, my brain is trying to catch up. And I'm like, they did what? And he goes, the Predators have traded Shea Weber for PK Subban. I go, okay. And I use the talk back and I go, hey, Darren, the Preds have traded Shea Weber for PK Subban. And he like literally just stops and looks at me and goes, huh? And we say it on the air and it's like, okay, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day. Yeah. I mean, I still was like, what in the world? And then, you know, it hit. It's like, oh, my God, it did happen. Because I think it was the day after Pat Summitt had passed away or the day before.
It was, I mean, it was right around that. Well, and I remember going to that press conference, and it was in a conference room, and I was sitting, like, right next to David Poile while he's doing it because they just put us around a conference table. And, you know, he's kind of giving the explanation and everything. And, you know, Shea had just – when they got beat in the playoffs by San Jose in Game 7 – that was the worst game of Shea Weber's career. Like, it was awful. He was absolutely terrible in that game. And so I'm like, I mean, do they just think he's done? Like, what was – and I remember asking David, because there had been a point where David was like, Shea Weber's one of our pillars, you know, we're going to keep him here forever. Right. They had matched the offer sheet. But I guess he looked at it as that contract was going to hinder them, you know, down the line, and he, in some ways he was right. That's why the CBA changed, that you couldn't do those type of deals anymore. But he was grandfathered in, and I remember asking him, like, you know, you've always kind of been steadfast that Shea would be here forever. Like, what changed? And he just kind of gave me that look of, I know more than, no, I'm just kidding. He gave me that look of, like, you know, it was a really tough decision, but we had to do what was best for the team long term, and moving that contract. It wasn't Shea. It was just the contract. And I believe, as much respect and admiration as I have for Shea Weber, if they don't make that move, they don't go to the Stanley Cup final. Because I think at the time, PK Subban gave the Predators the push they needed to get to that point.
Maybe. Did Yossi become captain the next year? Or no, it was Mike Fisher.
It was Mike Fisher for 1 year.
All right. And then Yossi?
And then Yossi. Yep.
All right. So can you – let me ask you, this is Chase story time. Let me – you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Where did it go wrong with PK Subban after the 2019 season?
I don't know that it went wrong after that season in particular. It's just he is such – an in-your-face personality that I think it just got old. I mean, I knew when they brought him here, it was kind of like Peter Laviolette. Peter Laviolette has a shelf life, and that is, after a while, it just – he's a great coach. He's a player's coach. Players like him. They like playing for him. But after a while, the same message gets old. And I think with PK, it was just the – you know, the way he dressed and the paparazzi that came with it, and he was dating Lindsey Vonn, and, like, there was just all these things that took the hockey team away from hockey. And that's no fault of PK's. That's just the personality that he is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think he's perfect to be on television. I just think that got old. And it got to a point where they had to be like, okay, we've had our – you know, he's had a great run here. Let's go ahead and let's move on.
Any truth to the rumor that after they lost to Dallas in 2019, like within like 20 minutes, he was taking that picture with Ezekiel Elliott and
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Smiling. I you know more than I do, but I heard that was not well received within the locker room, that PK Subban kind of like pushed that loss, then series loss behind them, and was like, hey, look at me. And
so you want to know something funny?
Please.
I witnessed that. I walked right by when that was happening.
No.
Yeah.
Was it odd?
I thought, well, because I had seen them earlier and was like, well, that's cool that they're here, you know, and so I knew they were there. And I even think they put them on the Jumbotron in Dallas.
Odd that picture's being taken.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I'm like, dude, you just got beat. Like, I mean, I get it. It's Zeke and Dak, but I mean, like, come on, you just got beat. And so, yes, I heard the same things that, you know, there were conversations that were had, It was, I mean, everything I have ever been told is, we love PK, but.
Right.
You know, like, it's kind of like there was just a lot with the personality. And this team knew they needed to get back. Because I think they all thought they had one more shot. That, you know, after, it's just like, it's so funny to think about the similarities of just like the Titans. It was the same deal that they overachieved in 16-17, go to the cup final. Titans overachieved in 99, went to the Super Bowl. The team the next year was better. Won the President's Trophy. The Titans had the number one overall seed. And because of the way that the seeding and the playoff schedule goes, and it's stupid and it needs to change, but Bettman won't do it, is that you had to face Winnipeg in the second round, which is the team you should have faced in the conference final, and it goes seven games, and you lose in game seven.
You got to beat them eventually.
You got to beat them eventually, but it just, you know, it is what it is. I can't change that, but it was like that was a better team. Like if they beat Winnipeg in that seventh game, I think they would have mowed through Vegas and played Barry Trotz in the Stanley Cup.
Ooh,
final.
That'd have been good. What year was it the team went to Poyle and said, hey, don't touch anything?
That was
after the 18 season?
That was after the President's Trophy year. That was going into 19, I think. Yeah.
Because they're still loaded, right? They're still loaded going into
19. Yeah, because I think David knew the PK thing could be a thing. And so I that's my speculation. I'm not saying I know that, but that's my speculation.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, that was how they said, hey, we'd really like to run this back. I think we got something good here. Now, Fisher retired officially, because remember, he came back towards the end. But
which was not, I mean, thanks, Mike, but yeah. We're good.
Yeah, and Hartnell was gone. See, I wish they'd brought Hartnell back. I think now you've triggered me. I think Peter mismanaged how he used Hartnell in the Winnipeg series because who did he put in instead of? Because I would have had Hartnell in that series the whole time, but that was just me.
Last series the Preds won was 18, right? Colorado.
Yep.
See, yep. I'm not dumb.
Yep.
I got all that.
I had to think, but yeah. I mean, that was that President's Trophy year.
Then they lost to Winnipeg. Then Dallas in 19.
Yep.
20, they lost to Arizona, right, in the COVID weird year.
Yeah, 21 lost to Carolina. 22 lost to Colorado. Didn't make it in 23. Lost to Vancouver in 24 and didn't make it in 25.
I mean, this team made the postseason for so many years. The fact that – have they ever gone back-to-back since they started making the playoff run of not making the playoffs? Because they made it in 04. They played the Red Wings. Was 05 the lockout?
04, 05, yeah.
Okay, the lockout. Then they started the run of making the playoffs every year.
Yep.
They didn't make it in 09, but made it in 10, 11.
But they were close. Like right. That's one of my favorite teams that Barry Trotz ever had because it was just a name of – it was the Island of Misfit Toys.
I like that.
They had guys you've never heard of that just loved to play.
That's what they need to get back here.
Yeah.
They need about five or six guys who are just grinders, man.
I think that's what he's trying to do.
Who's the dude that used to take shots off his head? Greg Zannon.
Greg Zannon.
I mean, we'd go interview him after the game, Chase. He'd have just hockey puck marks all over his body.
Yeah.
And didn't care. And my favorite player, Smithson, yes! My favorite player, I can't even name his name. He'd go to him in the locker room, he'd like, you guys want to talk to me? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. Why? I'm like, I don't know, because you're here.
Vern Fiddler, you know, was part of that group. And
fun!
Came back. And
when was Tutu's last year?
Tutu left 2015?
Oh, that long?
Whenever Suter left.
13.
Yeah.
Was it? I think.
I think that was kind of the end of that run.
Where's the hierarchy on these guys now?
What do you
Pekka number one?
Yeah.
Where's Tutu? I think he's up there.
I mean, popularity wise, he's towards the top, but you know, skill wise, he's. But, I mean, I would say if you're looking at the best players of all time, am I allowed to put active players?
This is a different conversation.
Okay.
because he wasn't elite, but every Nashville Predator fan loved him. I mean, I bought my son a tutu jersey.
Yeah.
And it had the whistle. We had the flag. We had the hat. We had the figurine. We bought everything tutu. We loved
him. I'll tell you the cool. So I loved him too. And one of the coolest things is, first time that I got to go to the locker room, I was an intern. It was the day that Alex Radulov came back and was reintroduced to the media. So I went down with Jeremy and our buddy, the late, great Dave Hull. And I think you were there too. And went into the locker room, first time in the locker room. Remember they used to have the logo in the middle of the locker room. You couldn't step on it.
Right.
So I almost made that mistake and everything. And Hull introduced me to Jordan. And Jordan gave us the tour and went out on the bench. And B-Hop was there. I mean, it was – but he was super cool. He was, the nicest guy. So that was – yeah. I mean, that was a while ago, too.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, he's – one of the most popular, if not the most popular. I mean, Pekka's number one, but then maybe Jordan is up there. Weber, Yost.
It's got to be, right? He was – a lot of us didn't know anything about hockey, but we knew this number 22 would fight like hell for this city and that hockey team no matter what, and we loved it.
Tutu's last game was April 6, 2012.
Okay. Was that the year they played the – that's the year they beat the Red Wings in the playoffs, right?
Correct, and then – lost to Arizona.
That's right. Is that the one where they curfew? That was,
yeah. Ask Barry about that one.
I'll pass. No.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. On this Tuesday, hope you're having a great day so far. We started the show with the 5-mile-an-hour police chase through the city of Nashville.
That took 4 hours?
No.
Good Lord.
They finally got her, though. I don't know what she did. I know our friend Madeline Nolan from Fox 17 was covering it all morning and said it was painful. but
I don't understand the whole story. For 4 hours, she led police on a low-speed chase around town, backing up traffic.
And they had already, gotten her tires. I mean, she was basically on rims, wasn't she?
Yeah. That's why Metro Police should have one, big SUV. Its only job is to wreck you as safe as possible, whatever you can do.
Right.
Make the phone call. Put out the bat signal. All right, I got to go ram this car and get it off the road. So, I don't know, just every day, man. You had Ed the Zebra and now whatever this thing was.
Yeah, but, I mean, I I don't know what she did and why she was running, so I, want to be careful there. But, I would rather have entertaining, funny-type news stories than a lot of the crap that we have to deal with on a daily basis. So, I miss Ed. I miss Ed the Zebra.
Update on Ed the Zebra. He's now living at a farm in Texas.
Nice.
And evidently he's got a female down there, so good for Ed. I'm sure Ed's having a lot of fun that's happening now. That's going on. Real quick, Chaser, did you see this comment that Steve Spurrier made about Arch Manning?
No, this should be good.
Steve Spurrier throwing a lot of shade at Arch Manning. Here's what Steve Spurrier said. I think most people are going to pick Texas to win the SEC, Spurrier said. They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman. My question is, if he is this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year? He's a damn seventh round pick. That's it.
He's not wrong.
In true Spurrier fashion, slammed him apart. Yeah, I mean, he's right.
Yeah, he's not wrong. So, just
bring gas.
Thank you.
Oh, Spurrier getting into it. Spurrier also quit on the South Carolina Gamecock football team.
If for whatever reason he was at SEC Media Days and he came on the show, would you ask him about that?
100%. Why? It's not okay for a player to quit. You quit on an entire program.
But you'd word it in a different way.
Why?
You'd be like, all right, I am curious. End of South Carolina. What? I view it as you quit on the team. So what happened?
No, I would not view it as you did quit on the team. Steve Spurrier quit on a college football program halfway through. And the fact he went golfing like a week or two later, he's a quitter. Steve Spurrier is a quitter. He quit on the football team. Had a quarterback come to him and say, "Yeah, coach, I'm not into it." What do you think Spurrier would have done? "Why are you quitting on me?" And would have berated him and put him down. That was his personality. Steve Spurrier quit on the South Carolina football program midseason. Ruined the program midseason. Quit on him. I would ask.
I'm not.
Why do we sugarcoat around these guys? You know better than I am. You know better than us. I don't care if you're Steve Spurrier or Nick Frazier.
I'm not arguing with you.
I know that. But I'm not. I would ask, why did you quit on the program? Pretty simple.
I'm just curious. You know, we're going to be at SEC Media Days, so looking forward to that. I'm just curious of, you know, some interviews that we have. Like, I would love for Kirk Herbstreit to walk by. Like, that could be fun.
I guarantee you, when Herbstreit realizes it's me, he will not do the interview.
You think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he realized he made a fool of himself calling me at Channel 4. I think he realized he made a big mistake, whining like a baby. I think he did. And if he did come by, I'd ask him. Yeah. I'm like, in all my years in TV, I had one phone call from a parent over my high school football coverage. You're the parent that called because you're mad that I aired footage of your son dropping a touchdown pass in the end zone, which would have given NBA the lead over Pearl Cone. You called me for that. When the very next highlight, I showed East High School playing Stratford and the East running back running in, fumbled the ball on the 1 yard line, and they lost the game. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, you highlighted because he's my son." Your son dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone that would have given them the lead. Well, he caught the game winner. I got to be back in the newsroom. I can't stick around to 9:30. You know how this works, Kirk.
Yeah.
And then he went on a tangent about, "My kids have been bullied here in Nashville." I'm like, "You make $1 million a year. Your kid goes to NBA. You ain't bullied."
A million?
At the time.
He probably made more than that.
Yeah.
We need a 1652 says, we need a list of Big Joe's hot topics. Steve Spurrier, Jimbo, summer winter solstice warning, Kirk Herbstreit, and Trent Dilfer.
Oh, okay. See, now you got me triggered. The Dilfer thing, God almighty. They play Tennessee this year. I hope Heupel beats UAB 101-0.
I think there's a pretty good chance that that could happen.
I hope so. What a complete ass Trent Dilfer is.
Tell us how you really feel.
Can't stand him.
This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinix Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We told you about the low-speed police chase this morning. Our friend Madeline Nolan from Fox 17 has been covering it, and I know this is this has got to be the highlight of your career, Maddie, to cover this morning. But what can you tell us about what transpired?
Okay, there's a lot, so I hope you guys are prepared. We kind of saw this around 4 a.m. We were actually at the Capitol for one of my stories, and on Jefferson Street, just slowly driving by, was like 20 police officers following a single vehicle. So, you know, using like my journalistic integrity, I immediately grabbed my phone and shot video. Initially thinking, okay, maybe it's a procession. Weird timing, yes. 4 a.m. for a procession. Wasn't really thinking too much there. But then an hour goes by and we start seeing, hey, like they're still following this. So I actually reached out to some officer friends, and then also, of course, like officials with Metro Nashville Police. And so they actually told me that they did confirm that they were following a vehicle that was stolen. And this has already been going on for 3 hours. So a long time and quite crazy, I admit. But top speeds of around 8 miles per hour. This is initially she did like get, I guess, startled by police officers, and they pulled up on her in Old Hickory, and she drove off really fast, but they were able to deploy some of those spike strips, causing all four of the tires to just go out completely, but she kept driving. And so that went on for another 30 miles. And then obviously came to an end on I-24 westbound. Definitely a crazy morning here at the station. Of course, I know like a lot of people, we've never seen anything quite like this. Still a lot of questions have not been answered. I know that a lot of people are asking, hey, why didn't Metro Police stop this when she was going so slow? I know that you guys have this question too. I did reach out to someone who was directly there, like on the scene. Now, this isn't confirmed by officials at this point, but they do say that they knew this lady and she wasn't of harm or of risk, and she has maybe had a prior arrest, and so she's nonviolent. The decision, I guess, to make sure that she ended up being safe and police officers were safe, made it go on so long. Now, those are, again, questions that still have not been answered this morning. We're hoping to get answers very soon, but of course, we were wondering, hey, like, were police able to communicate with her? Maybe it's possible that she could have been, you know, under the influence, those kinds of things. These are questions that still remain. So, a lot to be asked here, and of course, we're going to be following up on this like all day.
All right, so Maddie, I love your tweet. Maddie Nolan from Fox 17, your tweet was fantastic. So, I don't know police procedures, but in my years of being in Nashville, working in television, I've never seen this bizarre that they let a 4-hour slow-mo chase going on. I got a feeling they called somebody at the top and said, hey, just work this out, because it paralyzed traffic in our city. And if somebody's under the influence, why the hell do you let them keep driving? Why did THP intercede and stop it when Metro Police couldn't do that? I mean, I got all kind of questions.
Everyone has these questions. And I think one of my questions is, like, does MNPD have a policy where they cannot do a pit maneuver? I know that there's sometimes in, like, cases of really, you know, high-speed chases that, like, pit maneuvers can be very, very dangerous. But at 8 miles per hour, how dangerous could it have been? I know that when we saw it driving along Jefferson Street, they were going so slow, like, I could have, like, ran to the door and...
Pull over! Get out!
You know, like, I don't know if they were concerned that she had a weapon or a child in the car. Like, these are, again, so many questions remain. It was just, I don't want to say funny, but, like, now it's funny.
It's
like,
pretty funny.
Well, no, I mean, Maddie, if my fat ass is driving 5 miles an hour across town, you think they're going to let me paralyze traffic for 4 hours? No! They're going to ramp me a half mile down the road and get me off the road. I don't understand this. And I don't know. I don't need to be consumed by this today either.
Oh, I know that it's consuming everyone. I am just, I'm glad that everyone's laughing about it now. But at the same time, like, what was the holdup? Everyone's going to think of this as maybe a learning curve for Metro Police or even THP. Because, again, what took so long, you know?
Right.
Oh, that is fantastic. Maddie, thank you for the update. We appreciate it because, you know, it's about to be a big news day with the Predators free agency, but it's kind of been slow to this point. So a slow chase certainly fits.
Oh, yes. A very slow one at that. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it.
Thanks, Maddie.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You have a good one.
You too. Madeline Nolan, the fine reporter at Fox 17, joining us here on the program to give us an update on that. Before we head to the break, let's say hello to our man, Kenny, the mailman, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Kenny.
Man, it's hard to follow that Watergate-type reporting.
I know, right?
That is amazing. Listen, I had so much fun Saturday. I've never listened to an AFL game on the radio. Then Saturdays are hot and sort of slow. I had a ball listening. But, Chase, one question for you.
Yes, sir.
What was it like having Vandy Clay as a color man in the booth with you?
There was a point where I was kind of like, I mean, does he need a break? Like, I mean, he was in. He wasn't mad. He was incensed by the onside kick.
Yes.
Well, I understand that. Every fan base would love to have Joe as a color man because he says what every one of us was thinking. But the coaching staff, they would insist he not be a part. He could not ride on the airplane. He could not do interviews because politicians and coaches refuse to answer to anyone. You know, you was earlier talking about Spurrier. They are demigods over everyone. Don't you dare hold them to account. But, Joe, here is the insightful question for you.
Yes, sir.
Give us an update on Tiger Man.
Tiger.
The guy with
the guy.
Listen,
God, I love you.
Hear what Tiger Man was going through.
There's a guy that showed the game started at 1 o'clock Eastern time. He shows up at 12:30. I point out the chase, like, oh, look at, they got two mascots here. For 3 hours, he sat in the stands and didn't move, didn't go to the bathroom, didn't engage with anybody, sat in a full tiger costume for 3 hours. And I was consumed by that as well.
Yeah. It's sort of like an Inside Edition type question. What does a tiger have to do with their team?
Yeah, nothing.
Was it a local business?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Kenny, I will tell you. You know, I'm. It was a championship game. I was giving it everything I had, sitting there calling it, and then I had to deal with him with coaching decisions and that damn tiger. So
yeah, well, it was a full time job. Andy Clay sitting right next to you, just keep him off the course.
Basically, thanks, Kenny.
Bye bye.
Kenny the Mailman joining us. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays here on the program. Also want to tell you about Nashville's best deal. It's Tzatziki's. They came by yesterday. They fed us. Oh, so good. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered. From juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon, every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness. And don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last. Just go to thegamenashville.com/deals. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day to this point. We'll have John McClain join us tomorrow. And then I'm on vacation, so you guys hold it down for a week and a half.
We may have a special surprise guest for you tomorrow. I'm telling you right now. On the air. Maybe. So,
was it the one we talked about earlier?
It is not.
Oh.
Somebody else.
Oh.
I'm efforting.
We like efforts. That's good. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Use their electrical division for installations, inspections, upgrades, and more. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. They are above and beyond industry standards.
All right. First on this, we have American Zoo Day. If you like going to the zoo, go to the zoo. Blink 182 Day is today. Shout out to the Blink 182. Let's see. Canada Day is today. Not American. So, Devotion to the Duty Day. So there you go. Early Bird Day. Early Bird Special. International Chicken Wing Day. This is Mickey Sudo's day. She loves chicken wings.
She does.
International Joke Day. That's every day.
The show.
Yeah. International Reggae Day. If you guys like reggae music, Bob
love
Marley.
Love reggae, right?
This one is Madeira Day. I guess it's a Dia de Madeira. It probably is Spanish. National Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day. I just can't pronounce it.
Is there not a description of what it is?
No, it's just a day. Dia de Madeira Day. I don't know. It's not my day. National Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day is today. Made some banana pudding ice cream over the weekend. Pretty good.
How was that?
Delicious.
All right.
Yeah.
And you bring some in?
Peach cobbler as well. National Financial Freedom Day is today. So if you're
shout out to Dave Ramsey.
Yep. National Ginger Snap Day. You guys like ginger snap cookies?
Isn't that when a redheaded snaps her fingers?
Maybe. I can't confirm that.
You've had a few ginger snaps at you, right?
Right.
National Postal Workers Day is today. Kenny the Mailman.
Kenny the Mailman Day.
Oh, hey, thanks, Kenny.
National Television Heritage Day. So people that love those TV screens and their You know, TV trays, you guys ever have those growing up? The TV trays from like the 70s and 80s?
I still have a TV tray. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's how I eat dinner every night.
My grandparents had that back in the day.
Single man, that's what we do.
Second half of the year day is today. U.S. postage stamp day. And to wrap it up, zip code day.
Hey, zip you forgot a big one. It's Bobby Bonilla day.
It is Bobby Bonilla day. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Our first birthday, he played Klinger on the TV show MASH, Jamie Farr.
81.
84.
91. Oh, man. He's so good.
One of the most talented men of all time, entertainment-wise, actor Dan Aykroyd.
78.
81.
73. The one that makes me feel old, he played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, actor Alan Ruck, Ferris Bueller's best friend.
64.
67.
69.
Nice.
Good Lord. Wow. Knicks up, Dr. Kramer, 1-0. Proud of you. The great actress. The actress Pamela Anderson. She's not a great actress, but Pamela Anderson.
Depends on what. Never mind.
Yeah, you're right on that.
58.
62.
58 exactly. Good job, Chaser. Who else here? Oh, yeah. Missy Elliott.
Missy Misdemeanor.
Can you work it? Can you work it? Beep, 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 Missy Elliott, however that song goes.
53.
58.
54. Chase up 3-1. Rolling now. 3 unanswered. Actress Liv Tyler.
Steven's daughter, right?
Yeah, it is.
45.
34.
48 years old. Actress Storm Reid. She's beautiful.
Where was she in?
The Last of Us.
Okay. 34.
The HBO one?
Yes,
the Last
sir.
Of Us? Yeah, great show.
Yep. Nominated for an Emmy for that.
29.
22. Singer Tate McRae.
28.
29.
22.
Oh, yeah.
22. Singer Deborah Harry of Blondie.
73.
78.
She's 80. Good Lord. 80? Blondie Deborah Harry's 80. All right. It's 3-2, Chaser. Lead singer of the B-52s, Fred Schneider.
74.
80.
74, exactly. Chaser knows where the tin roof's located. He's up 5-2. Let's see who else. I'm going. Hold with me. Are we doing okay today?
Yeah, we're good. How are you doing?
Okay, everybody good? Okay. actor Melissa Peterman. She's the. She's on the TV show Reba. It's Reba's best friend.
Oh yeah. 58.
60. 54. We got some good ones here. Don't go anywhere. We're not done yet.
Don't turn that dial.
Going down here some more. All right, let's see here. Former Browns head football coach and the first coach at Liberty University, or one of the first coaches, Sam Rutigliano.
92.
Mike Haynes, cornerback for the Raiders, one of the best cornerbacks to play football.
74.
77.
72. Chases up 6-2. One of the greatest female basketball players of all time, Nancy Lieberman.
64.
67.
67, exactly. It's now 6-4. Carl Lewis.
Uh-oh. 65.
62.
64. Chase is up 7-4. Down to our last two. Patrick McEnroe.
60.
63.
59. Chaser's up 8-4. Chaser can get double digits. Our last birthday, hockey player Jerome, I can't pronounce his
Aginla.
Last. There you go. How do you say it?
Aginla.
That's it. That's his birthday. Today's his birthday.
Iggy, as he was known. Jerome Aginla is 47.
45.
Oh, he's 48. Chaser wins 9-4.
He's been on a tear lately.
He's been down and then he explodes? Nice job, Chase.
That's what she said.
Oh, my Lord.
You did it, not me.
May I remind you, this is 100% a family show. It was.
It was.
My goodness.
That's how families are created.
Somebody cut his mic back there. Good Lord, what's gotten into you today? Is it the Dom Madeira day?
No, I'm just, I don't know.
Is Dom Madeira day run your mouth with no consequences?
No, just you guys are a funny bunch. I'm just adding on to the content.
Thank you so much. That is going to do it for us and probably Dr. Crane forever. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
As we leave our show, we always tell the guys out there, if you're feeling down or low, please talk to somebody. Please, on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Please reach out to us. Whatever you do, please talk to someone. This world is a better place because you are here. And I've seen the collateral damage of something happens to you with your family and your friends. We need you here. You are so loved. And we tell you all the time, you're loved not only by us, but more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you. Know that.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.